It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome back one last time this week. It is Fade the Chalk, presented, of course, by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here, bringing you the Week 8 DFS game-by-game edition of the podcast. You know, usually on a Thursday, but on a Friday this week. But not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, always injuries, always practice reports are waiting on, so sometimes the later the better. And to break down the Week 8 slate is none other than Chris Meany, my colleague over at FTN. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Meany, doing, I mean, everything. He's hosting Mean Streets every day, obviously, doing a ton of NHL content, fantasy podcasts, articles, the betting. I mean, his betting, if you're not following me, he's betting for NHL and his props and everything. You are you're missing out. But Meany, as always, appreciate you stopping by. What's going on? How are you enjoying this craziness that is the world of sports right now, with football, hockey, basketball, and even the World Series, which I forgot was even happening like 2 days ago?
Yeah, dude, it is crazy. Thanks for having me, man. I love chopping it up with you and appreciate the kind words to start. But yeah, it's been, you know, honestly, it's been a little bit of an overwhelming month. I mean, this time last year in October, I mean, the world was, you know, the world's still pretty crazy out there. But, you know, there was no hockey. There was no, I don't believe NBA was happening right now in October either. So like it just, the big four is all going on. It's great, though. I love it. It really is the best time to be a sports fan. So, yeah, like today on Mean Streets, we talked about the World Series, a little NBA, a little NHL, a little NFL. So, I mean, it's all happening all at once. But it's great, man. No complaints at all. I'm a big fan. And you know what? You're right, because it is nice to get the pod out there early for people and, you know, to give our thoughts. But there's a couple players that we just don't know. Like, I'm just trying to find everything I could about Dak Prescott here this morning, and it just looks like he's kind of trending in the wrong direction, but we just don't have official word. And of course, if he doesn't play, that's going to do a lot to, you know, that game and the Cowboys. You know, a lot of questions, do I start Amari Cooper or do I start Marvin Jones? And, you know, of course I had to go with your boy Marvin Jones, but you know, just those sort of things where you have to downgrade everybody as, you know, in that Dallas offense. If that's the case, I wanted to give Dallas in the over as a pick here today. But you know, you can't go with that, because, you know, I don't think we're going to see 50 plus points if Cooper Rush is the guy throwing the football.
Yeah. And like, Dallas, obviously not on the main slate, but for like redraft, it's tough because play Sunday night and you might have to decide. It sounds like Dallas is going to know by Saturday at some point. So we, with the quarterback, we usually would get word, because obviously Cooper Rush has to be ready in case Dak can't go. So I don't think they would wait till obviously like a pregame thing for Dak Prescott. I think we'll know by Saturday. But yeah, I mean, we have a ton at FTN right now in terms of content, basketball. I mean, basketball, I'm doing the... Me and Joe Metz and I are kind of alternating each day doing the DFS value piece and the first look piece, which is over at FTN Daily, free to read. We have the podcast. We have Fast Eddie Fears rankings. Kyle Murray's doing the opto, the projections, everything. Zach Graham's doing a lot of super draft stuff, and the live streams one every single night. So it's an awesome time. Get signed up over at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets. Meany, let's get into the slate, and we'll start with my Buffalo Bills at home against the Miami Dolphins, a team that they have pretty much dominated over the last year and a half. They're pretty large favorites here. Might be a little bit of rain in this game, but in terms of like injury news, we only have two items, really, or three, I guess. We already knew Dawson Knox was going to be out. He's out. Devontae Parker has missed the last few games with a hamstring injury. He is expected to be available, so it's looking like he's trending towards playing. What could that do for Mike Gesicki and Jalen Waddle? And then Malcolm Brown was placed on IR, so Miles Gaskin could be a little bit more interesting down the stretch. We talked about him on the trade for episode, but I don't know if I'm gonna go there in DFS. Let's start with Buffalo, though. I'll be playing a lot of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs in this spot. Miami, just Josh Allen has destroyed this defense, and this defense, even when they've had Xavier Howard and Byron Jones healthy, they've been very bad. Josh Allen he's been over 30 plus fantasy points in three of his last four. Dolphins allowing a 54% completion rate off deep passes this year. It's a bottom five rate in the league. That's great for Josh Allen. And Miami also blitzes a lot, which Josh Allen has been carving up the blitz. Miami currently blitzes at the fourth highest rate in the NFL, just over 28%. Josh Allen against the blitz this year, according to our advanced passing numbers, leads the NFL in ADOT at 11.6 and second in passer rating at 110. So Allen paired with Diggs against a very, very man-heavy, man-coverage-heavy defense. And Diggs is top five in targets, receptions against man. He was like the best receiver against man coverage last year. Long-winded way of me saying Josh Allen and Diggs will be on many of my rosters this Sunday.
Yeah, hard to argue that, dude. I just gave that on Mean Streets to some top plays at each position, and Josh Allen is probably my favorite quarterback on the board this week. And, you know, even if they blow them out, we've seen the Bills blow it teams before, and, you know, he still gets his. And, you know, we can talk about the run game all you know, after this. It's just hard to get a feel for that the running game. And, you know, you've seen Josh Allen now. There's a couple games over this last four where he has 40-plus passing attempts. You know, he's thrown at least three touchdowns in three of his past four games as well. And the one game that he didn't, they just absolutely torched Houston. And that was a crazy game in Buffalo. A lot of wind and a lot of rain.
And it was another game where Josh Allen had a rushing touchdown that he should have had. They didn't give to him. And that's then right. He lost a touchdown. So
we're seeing
this, man, with the new rule where if you're giving yourself up or whatever, like it's literally taking like rushing touchdowns away from quarterbacks.
Yeah, kind of Taylor Heineke almost had one there.
Don't
last
remind
week.
Me.
Yeah,
I had to start him last week, and I'm like, dude, what are we talking
about?
How
many times
here?
Did they have a chance to get in the end zone there? I thought, you know, yeah, they changed the rules so Heineke didn't get that other one. You know, he probably felt some pressure coming. He could have just ran that one in. And then the other one, man, he reached over, and then the ball was fumbled, and they said, you know, I understand, I guess, the thinking of what that play was, just like the possession was stopped. But, I mean, he picked up the ball was fumbled and he picked it up again and reached. I thought that should have counted as a touchdown. But nonetheless, we are seeing that a little bit more. But I agree with you. I mean, Josh Allen is going to carve up this Miami secondary, which hasn't been good at all. I mean, you talked about some of the numbers, but the second most passing yards allowed, 8 yards per pass attempt, which is inside the top 10 as well. So even if you're thinking that this could be a blowout where the Bills have blown out a couple teams so far this season, Josh Allen still seems to get his. He's had at least 30 fantasy points in three of his past four games. And really, we can call two 40 because one was 40 and one was 39.5 against the Chiefs. So he's been awesome.
Yeah, turns out he is not regressing, as many people believed after one game. You mentioned the backfield. I mean, it's a good spot. The last time we saw the Bills face Miami, both Zach Moss and Devin Singletary kind of got theirs. It's hard to project that going forward really ever for this team, especially because it looked like Moss was kind of taking over the backfield. And then last game, Singletary was heavily involved in the passing game. I think you can play one of them if you want. It's hard on this slate though, because we'll talk about Kenneth Gainwell, who's 5K, right around the same price range as these Buffalo running backs. There's another running back like in that price range, so they're like they never are. They're not priorities for me, but if there were a spot, this would probably be it.
Will you have any shares of Emmanuel Sanders? I know you said Diggs, but will you have any? I mean, Sanders has been so impressive, dude.
He has been really good. I mean, I was on Justin Boone's podcast yesterday, and we were giving some bold predictions. I said Sanders, and he was right when he said this to me. I said Sanders would be a top 30 receiver rest of the season, and he said, is that really bold? And I thought about him. Like, he's been pretty much a top 30 receiver,
but he's
been the deep threat in this offense. He's getting downfield targets. He's right up there with Stephon Diggs in terms of red zone targets and end zone targets. So I think he's perfectly fine. I think he's more of a cash play at 5,400, but obviously it's a great spot for him. And I will say, if you're playing like 150 lineups and you're playing a handful of different Josh Allen stacks, I would throw Gabe Davis in one, and here's why. The Bills always go four wide as much as any team in the league, but Gabriel Davis' snaps have been down this year. His involvement's been down. With Dawson Knox out, it's entirely possible that Tommy Sweeney is just not involved like Dawson Knox, because first of all, he's not going to be as involved as Knox was in general, nowhere near the caliber of player. But if they just go a lot more empty and a lot more four wide, Gabriel Davis could be on the field more. He's only 3,300. That's like a one, or, you know, if you're playing a bunch of Josh Allen stacks and you want to differentiate, that's my call. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sweeney's probably going to get some looks himself at 2,900. I just think it's a trap, personally.
Yeah, I agree. Shout out to Tenacious D. Jones, our guy David Jones. I think he wrote him up as like a tournament play. I understand it, a punt at the position and the tight end position.
All right, well, never mind. He's not a trap because David Jones just wins everything. So
that's what I was going to say. Like, I agree with you, but it does make you step back and like double think when you read something and hear something that David Jones says, because he's knocking on the door of winning $1 million here multiple times this year. But I agree. Though, man, I don't think I'm gonna do it. I don't think I'm going to go there. I understand the price at 2.9. The tight end position is pretty weak. It really is. This week, it's not great, right? You're not going to Kelsey. There's no Andrews. There's no Waller. Like, these guys are not here part of the slate. Kittle's on IR. So it is pretty slim pickings. But I don't think I'm going to go there, man. But, you know, there seems to be a random tight end in Buffalo that's wide open in the end zone every time I watch that Bills team play football. But I don't think I can go there either.
Yeah, and I talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago when the last time the Bills were on a main slate. Like, there's no analysis other than the fact that I know this Bills team like the back of my hand, and Josh Allen and Dawson Knox are, like, best friends. So, yeah. Like, that comes into play at some point. I don't know if him and Tommy Sweeney are going to have that connection. There's a couple other tight ends on the slate around that price range that I actually prefer. We'll talk about them in a little bit. Miami, does anybody stick out to you? I mean, this is a terrible spot. This team has struggled heavily against Buffalo in the past. Devontae Parker will be back, which could take looks away from Waddle and Gesicki. I think Waddle's still in play. His floor has been really high. He's just not being used down the field. He's like bottom five in yards before the reception per catch. Like, he's not having that downfield role, which gives him a good floor, because when Tua has been active, he's been getting like 8+ targets. He's got 2 double-digit target games. Like, he's getting a ton of looks. And then Gaskin's interesting because terrible matchup. He's been probably the most difficult player in fantasy to trust this year. Mm-hmm. But Malcolm Brown being on IR is not, you know, it's not insignificant. I mean, Gaskin, you know, pretty much doubled Savon Ahmed's snaps last game, had 19 touches, got the goal line work. But again, for me, where he's priced in the matchup, I just don't see a huge ceiling for really anybody on Miami here.
No, I don't either. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, if they put up another zero against the Bills, honestly. Tua was written up for me as a sit, even in super flex leagues over at ftmfantasy.com in the start and sit article. I get Gaskin, like, maybe, you know, moving forward, this guy could be interesting. There's some easier matchups for him, like, for those who, you know, potentially have him in season long. You know, he could rack up a few catches in this game, and moving forward, he could. I mean, he had more carries last week than he had in his 3 previous games combined. And I know Malcolm Brown is not there, but how often is this team going to want to, you know, run the football against the Bills? And how much success are they going to have throwing it? I mean, according to Football Outsiders, this is the best defense in the league, and it's hard to argue that. They're number one in pass DVOA as well. So it's tough. I don't think I'm going to get anywhere with these guys. Like, Waddle's a guy that I've been targeting his catch props and his receiving yard props because of what you talked about. You know, it's not like he's had high ceiling games in terms of yardage, but his last two have been his best. 13 targets, 10 grabs, 70 yards, 8 targets, 7 grabs, 83 yards. But those were matchup against the Jags and the Falcons. So he even has a game this year, Pfeiffer, with 12 grabs, but there were only 58 yards there. So really, what are we looking at here from a full point setting? Double-digit fantasy points, sure, but he's not going to be a guy in tournaments that I think could break the slate for you and get you, you know, 25 to 30 fantasy points. I just don't see it here. I don't see a high ceiling for Miami. I'm completely off of them, and it's tough because I expect the Bills to score 30-plus points, so when I feel like a team can score 30 or 40 points, there is somebody I usually want to bring it back with here. It would be Waddle, but I think there's other guys in that price range that have a higher ceiling.
All right, fair enough. Let's move right along to the Bengals and Jets, another game where it looks like it's going to be relatively one-sided. Mm-hmm. We got word that Corey Davis not looking like he's going to play. It's not looking good for him on top of already losing Zach Wilson. So we're going to see Mike White start at quarterback, probably no Corey Davis at receiver. There is a Jet, though, and this is like the play of the week for me. This is like, I'm going to have a lot of this player, and it will probably decide my week. And it's terrifying because it's a New York Jet, but it's Michael Carter.
Nice.
And
I like him too.
There's a reason why I'm going to be lower on Kenneth Gainwell this week than a lot of other people in the industry in terms of analysis and just playing him. And Michael Carter is with that reason. He's $100 cheaper. His role, so Tevin Coleman, healthy scratch last game again. Was he healthy scratch or was he actually hurt?
Hamstring. I think he was hurt, but he's been a healthy scratch.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then Ty Johnson did leave after getting a concussion protocol, but he's not on the injury report, so he looks to be cleared. But even still, Michael Carter's role last game was encouraging. What do you have, 9 receptions?
Yeah.
On a team that's always going to be, or 8 receptions on 9 targets, always a team that's always going to be trailing. They're huge underdogs per usual in this game. They're facing a Bengals team that's been good against the run, but they actually give up 7.6 receptions per game to opposing running backs, the second most in the NFL. Interestingly enough, the team that allows the most receptions per game to running backs in the NFL is the New York Jets. So Michael Carter at 4,900, he probably gets like 8 to 10 carries, and he has an upside clearly of like 7, 8 receptions, especially with Corey Davis out. I think Michael Carter is in the same role as Kenneth Gainwell, because Kenneth Gainwell is not getting 15 carries. Jordan Howard is probably going to be active, he's been getting work with the starters. We'll talk about that with the Eagles game, but like the difference in role between Carter and Gainwell is really, I think Carter has a better chance of getting more touches in his offense. Corey Davis is out. There's less competition for overall targets, and the offense isn't as good as the Eagles, but it's not like the Eagles offense is incredible. So I'm straight up taking Michael Carter over Kenneth Gainwell, and it's interesting. It's a bold strategy because it's a New York Jet, but here we are.
Yeah. No, I don't hate it, man. I think some of those numbers could be a little skewed because Najee Harris had 14 grabs against him, but your point remains the same, because there have been some other backs like Dalvin Cook caught 6 passes against him, Jones 4, DeAndre Swift had 5, and then, you know, Freeman and Williams for Baltimore last week combined for 5 and 50 yards. So I watched that game pretty closely because I had a Jameson Crowder catch prop at 5, and Mike White just wouldn't throw him the football because all he was doing was checking down to his running backs. And I'm sure maybe he feels a little bit more comfortable a full week here with the team. You know, he was just kind of thrown into that game last week. But, I mean, the Bengals are massive favorites here. Joe Burrow's been so efficient. Nobody can stop Ja'Marr Chase. They're going to put up points. So they're going to be playing from behind. And no Corey Davis is significant. It's huge. So they are going to have to throw the football. And I saw what you saw, man, last week. Michael Carter, it was a lot of garbage time work. But even still, he had his best day overall, like his most fantasy points he ever had. He still only had 11 carries for 37 yards. And that's basically what he's done in each of the past 3 games. But you mentioned Ty. I don't think Ty is going to be – I think it could be maybe a 60-40. But I saw Michael Carter get some red zone work last week as well. And it's just all those checkdowns from an inexperienced quarterback in Mike White that probably, you know, if he comes away even with 6 grabs in this spot, he's going to be a guy that returns value at this price point. And I agree with you. We'll get to Philadelphia in a little bit. But, I mean, this team isn't even running the football. And I think...
They didn't run it with Miles Sanders.
Exactly.
Like, what are you talking about?
And they probably trust Boston Scott a little bit more because he got some first and second down work last week when Miles Sanders went out, because he's a better pass blocker than Kenneth Gainwell. So that's another like kind of knock on Gainwell right now. But I'm with you at 4-9. I mean, I project at least 6 targets for him. I gave his receiving yard prop on Mean Streets at 18.5. I think he cruises past that.
Yeah.
I think he catches a few balls.
Yeah, I like that. And I don't want to speak for you, but I'm assuming no other Jets are on your radar.
No, that's it. I can't get too cute with Crowder. I just, like I said, I didn't see it from him. It was an entire fourth quarter for him to get some looks, and the Jets had the ball 3 times, I believe, in that fourth quarter playing from behind. It was just a lot of checkdowns.
Yeah. The Bengals, obviously, more interesting here. Let's start with Joe Mixon, who the usage has been kind of interesting lately. Like, he's still the... I mean, Samaje Perine was heavily involved. A lot of it was obviously that game was out of hand pretty, you know, relatively like in the third quarter. So they had that game in control. But I mean, Joe Mixon's passing game work has fallen off a cliff. He had the 5 catches against Detroit, which was nice. But like, other than that, like he's not playing on as many third downs as he did to begin the season. All that being said, I love him here. Under 7K, huge favorite. The Jets just allowed the 3 Patriots running backs, Damian Harris, J.J. Taylor, and Brandon Bolden, to all finish as top 20 running backs on the week. They have given up touchdowns to multiple running backs on a team 3 different times this season. They're allowing 1.8 rushing touchdowns per game, the most in the NFL. Like, Joe Mixon, for me, is one of my favorite plays of the slate, and I think you can play Michael Carter and run it back. I think that's a correlation that makes sense. Usually don't play running backs on the same lineup against each other, but with Michael Carter, we talked about, he can catch 8-9 balls in this game, so I think that's a move you can make. I like Mixon under 7K. What do you think of Mixon in the passing game's obviously been fantastic lately. Their passing rate has gone up like every week as Joe Burrow gets more comfortable, and he's looked obviously more comfortable. He's playing fantastic right now.
Yeah.
Their pace is still very low. They're like bottom 5 in pace of play, average seconds per play. But I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, at this point, you kind of have to just put him in a tournament lineup every single week with what he's doing right now.
I know. What he's doing is crazy. I mean, he's getting targeted down the field. He's been super efficient with these catches. And Joe Burrow's been super efficient as well. It's hard to really ignore Burrow and Chase, but I'm with you. I think I may have more Mixon, and that may sound crazy, but I think there's some uncertainty with some people because of what you talked about, right? Last game, there's no targets. I was pretty surprised to see zero targets from him last week and seeing six the week before. But if you go look at the track record here, I mean, week five, he had one target, one catch. Week four, he had two targets, one catch. And then against the Steelers, one target, one catch. And the same thing with the Bengals or against Chicago. Like, this is a guy who had two targets and one catch. So he's only got two games this season where he's had more than one catch. And that's pretty surprising considering he started the season with four grabs. It's like, okay, here we go. Zach Taylor is going to use this guy as a bell cow, but Evans has been involved and Pirine's going to be is involved. And I think what people will think, Pfeiffer, is that, oh yeah, they're going to cruise in this game. You're going to see a lot of Samaje Perine, but I think they could lean on the run game just a little bit with Joe Mixon. I think he could find the end zone a couple times here this week. And at 6'9", I think this is a very appealing price. I want to have some shares of T. Higgins this week.
Yes.
I think we have to, right?
So yeah, we do. We do the trade episode every Wednesday, and every Wednesday we plug your article and everything and all your trade talks over at FTN. And a lot of the time we're really in agreement, and I've made the case right now, like, T. Higgins is like the best buy low in fantasy. So he had 15 targets last game, right? 11 in the first half. The usage was, or the targets weren't like the highest, you know, upside. They were close to the line of scrimmage, a lot of them. But here's where T. Higgins is a touchdown scorer. Like, he's a great player, but he's very good also inside in the end zone. The problem is this stat, I literally like was looking this up while we were recording, and Deepro was like stunned. The Cincinnati Bengals are averaging 1.9 red zone scoring attempts per game. That's 31st in the league ahead of only the Texans. And it's not because they're a bad offense and they can't move the ball. It's because CJ Uzama has like three touchdowns this year. They're all from like 40 plus yards out. Ja'Marr Chase leads the NFL in deep receptions, deep touchdowns. Like, they're just not getting red zone trips as often as every other team because these guys are ripping off huge plays. That's obviously going to regress, and they're going to get red zone trips, and that's where T. Higgins is going to get targets and score touchdowns. So at 5,200, yeah, we always talk about buy low in a redraft season-long aspect, but you can make that argument for DFS as well. Like, T. Higgins, as a player in this offense, is probably a 6K player at least, and he's 5,200 given his lack of production, so to speak. But first 2 weeks of the season, he scored twice, and he missed two games with a shoulder injury, but his 27% target share still leads his team. It's ahead of Ja'Marr Chase, who's right around 24.5%. So, yeah, give me all the T. Higgins this week, and if you are worried about him and if I'm in a league with you, I will gladly trade for him because he's an amazing player and Joe Burrow's playing great right now.
Yeah, sometimes it's easy to, you know, find guys to buy low because you get these questions like, what do I do with T. Higgins? It's like, wait, what? What do you mean? You either start him or you don't. You're not dropping him, and I don't think you should trade him. I mean, you mentioned the targets. I mean, 15 last week, he's averaging 9 targets per game, so the volume has still been there. He's been disappointing, and now his price has dropped to 5.2. I know he was 4.9 last week, but this was a player at one point who was like in the mid-5 range. Yeah, I think a lot of people will probably go Burrow and Chase, and I think that's fine. But this could be a T. Higgins week. It really could. And you're saving a lot of cash by going to T. Higgins. The volume is going to be there for him. You talked about him being a touchdown beast. He really has been over the short course of his career as well. So I love Higgins, and I noticed his ownership like in Yahoo and ESPN actually dropped. That was part of it as well. Like, so people actually dropped him. And I'm sure it's shallow leagues, maybe 8-team leagues, 10-team leagues, but even still, like, this guy should be on rosters. And I think now's the opportunity to get in on him while everybody is talking about Chase and everybody's focusing in on Chase.
Dude, I made like the best move possible. In my most important dynasty league, I'm in contention. Like, I have one of the best teams in the league. But my flex, we start two flexes in this league, and my second flex was, you know, I had Leonard Fournette, who I traded for earlier in the year, which is working out great. He was my first flex. My second flex, I was struggling, was like Laviska Shenault, Rondale Moore, and I gave up some future assets and a player. I think it was Shenault and some assets. And again, this is dynasty, so I'm on a win now team, and it's for the future. And I got T. Higgins, and I'm thrilled, absolutely thrilled. So yeah, I'm with you. I love T. Higgins in general, the rest of the season, and especially this week, especially with people. Probably not going to be on him in DFS. Anything else from this game? I'm not chasing CJ Uzama's three targets a game and ripping off a 40-yard catch. And Tyler Boyd, you can't play with these guys healthy. He's getting like 40 yards a game on 3.5 receptions. It's bad.
Yeah, it's really bad. Like, he's the guy that, you know, people are like, oh, Chase, you know, yeah, or you Higgins, can drop he can't Boyd. Do anything. Yeah, Boyd's the guy that you can move on from. I agree.
All right, let's move on to another game that's probably going to not be close, but the Rams at the Texans. Who knows? The Lions had it more, like, personal about it, though, with the way they approached that game. So I don't know if the same is going to be said here. But the Rams at the Houston Texans. Mark Ingram, no longer a member of the Texans, traded back to New Orleans. So David Johnson, there was a report that came out saying that they expect to feature him. We'll see. He's 4,200 on DraftKings, which is interesting because he was already the passing downs back in this offense, giving him at least a decent floor most weeks in on DraftKings. But now he's expected to be the lead back. I wonder if that helps or hurts him, because like, if he's getting like 15 carries between the tackles, like, I don't really like that. But let's start with the Texans because they're going to be easy. Do you have interest in David Johnson with Ingram now back in New Orleans? And then is it Brandon Cooks, who has still seen at least a 30% target share in like 5 of 7 games this year?
Yeah, he's still getting a lot of targets. Davis Mills hasn't looked too good. I probably won't get to anybody on the Texans. I think if you're playing multiple lineups, it does make sense maybe to, you know, bring it back with like a Cooks or a DJ. I do expect DJ probably to catch 5 or 6 passes in this game, and you got to think in a full point setting on DraftKings, if he does catch 6 passes, maybe he gets into that 12 to 15 point range, but who cares about that, right? Like, where's the ceiling here with this Texans team? They're not scoring a lot of points. The Rams defense is awesome. So I won't get to him, man. Like, I have to play. I probably honestly have to play 15 lineups to even start thinking about any Texans here. And it's too bad because Brandon Cooks, you're right. I mean, the target share, the air yard share, I mean, still among the leaders despite disappointing games. 2 weeks ago, he played the Colts and he had 18 fantasy points. But other than that, like Arizona, New England, Buffalo, this guy just, you know, he's been eliminated from the game. And if you're the Rams, like, that's it, right? You're just taking Brandon Cooks away.
I mean, yeah, you got Ramsey.
Exactly.
I don't think Ramsey doesn't really shadow anyway, but like,
no, they don't even need to, but they'll, right, focus.
He actually
on
followed it was interesting because you look at Detroit's team last week, their receivers, I mean, I know Khalif Raymond had a good game and he's been coming on a little bit, but like, their receivers are still really bad. So Ramsey was on Hockenson a lot in that game, so maybe they just do the same thing and just say, okay, your best player is Brandon Cooks, we'll just have Ramsey on him. But but yeah, it's obviously low ceiling for the Texans, like usual. I mean, the Rams, I don't really want to talk about. I mean, it's not that I don't want to. It's just, if you want to play Cooper Kupp, go ahead. He's the best player in fantasy outside of Derrick Henry, really. I mean, it's just ridiculous what he's doing right now. Obviously, I feel like we're at the point now where it's like every week you should probably get a lineup if you're playing multiple lineups in tournaments where you just play Stafford and Kupp and run it back with somebody. The problem is, I guess it's Cooks in this spot, but Stafford and Kupp are obviously elite. Going back to Darrell Henderson here, he was popular last week. I expect him to be maybe even more popular this week. 6,500, like, I understand he's coming off of his first bad game of the year, but he's never priced where he should be. Like, he played 57 snaps last week to Sony Michel's 8. I mean, like, his usage is better than pretty much any running back in the league right now. It's ridiculous. So he should be... I mean, he should be at least in the 7K range, and he's not. So he'll be popular, but how do you not go back to him? Teams are running the ball at the highest rate in the NFL against the Texans. No surprise, they're always trailing in games. He's going to be one of the most popular plays of the slate, but it's hard to not like him.
Yeah, from like a fantasy point per dollar, I mean, I'm looking at our optimizer. He's number one at 3.1.
No surprise.
No surprise. We're seeing ownership projection to number one as well at 26%. So, yeah, he's going to be pretty popular. I think he's a great cash game play despite last week. I think he's a solid tournament play too. I mean, I don't know really. You guys know this, everyone listening right now. I mean, the Texans are massive underdogs here. You expect that, you know, the Rams run the rock. And there's been games where, you know, they've been up and Henderson has been the one to close it out, not Sony Michel. There was a game a couple weeks ago where Sony Michel got some touches, but you're right. It's been a lot of Darrell Henderson here. He's been pretty good. He's having a strong season. He's got 5 touchdowns. He catches a couple balls here and there out of the backfield for you as well. So he's completely underpriced. This is why, you know, he's up at the top at point per dollar. This is why his ownership is pretty high as well. It's extremely risky to fade Stafford and Kupp. I get it. I understand it. You said it perfectly. If you're playing multiple lineups, you have to have one of these guys. Why not? It's been pitch and catch. It's been historical. In fact, I think I saw somebody tweeted out, I believe it was, I could think of the name here in a little bit, but he said the most fantasy points ever through 7 weeks, and it wasn't even close, Cooper Kupp. for wide receivers, that is. So maybe I can find that in a little bit, but he's been awesome. But I just feel like you could get a 3-touchdown game from Henderson. Like, I don't think anybody should be surprised with that. The matchup is great for one. They're going to run all over them in the second half. And also, if they move the ball down the field, you don't know inside the red zone. Maybe they just hand it off to Henderson. So he could get he could have a 3-touchdown game. I think a bounce back game is certainly very likely here for him. So I can't avoid him.
And they're throwing him wheel route end zone targets the last 2 weeks. He scored against the Giants on one of them. They threw like two of them last week that he couldn't come down with. It was good coverage. Like, it's awesome. And yeah, I mean, if Cooper Kupp stops scoring touchdowns on these like little. They run these pick plays where like Van Jefferson or Robert Woods will get in the defender's way and Cooper Kupp just walks in the end zone. Like, if that can kind of relax a little bit, like, yeah. Henderson will have, like I said, he's got upside for multiple touchdowns easily.
That tweet, by the way, if you go care. Ahead. Scott Barrett, you know, he's a sharp dude, works Absolutely. For Fantasy Points. He had the tweet from the most fantasy points ever through the first seven games of a season all time. Cooper Kupp, number one, 190. Number two is Marvin Harrison in 99. Thielen in 2018. Torrey Holt in 2003. Wes Welker in 2011. Randy Moss in 2007. And Steve Smith had 175. In 2005, but that's like Cooper Kupp. What he is doing this year is absolutely unreal.
Seriously. And I also like Stafford paired with Tyler Higbee here. I think could go overlooked. Mm-hmm. This matchup, I've written it up in our matchup, in my matchup, week, the matchups to target every Monday article. It's just like you find the tight end playing the Houston Texans and you play them. Like, they've now given up a touchdown to a tight end in 5 straight games, and the tight ends are not even like huge names, right? Zach Ertz last week, like, you follow the Eagles closely. Mm-hmm. Zach Ertz should never get a 47-yard catch and run against you.
No.
And he did. It was a touchdown. Yeah. That was a touchdown. Dawson Knox, Mo Alie-Cox, Tommy Tremble, Hunter Henry, they've all scored over the last 5 games along with Zach Ertz. They also gave up a touchdown to Chris Manhertz back in week 1. They just can't cover the position. Tyler Higbee still playing around 90% of the snaps, running around on about 89% of Matthew Stafford's dropbacks. I think he's top 5 in end zone targets at the position. I think he also has sneaky 2 touchdown upside. And if they're going to score 30 plus points, I mean, Henderson can get his, Kupp can still get his 100 and a score, and Higbee can get. I think you can double stack them. And then obviously, if you're, you know, I wouldn't play Henderson in that lineup too, but like the Rams are a team that you can just play multiple players in the offense and still feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, no, I agree. They're gonna score 30, right? At least.
The only way this goes south for the Rams offense is if the DSTE gets 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, and it is possible. It's possible, but I don't think you can ignore their offense.
No. All right, let's move on to this next game. This game is probably my least favorite of the slate. San Francisco at the Chicago Bears. Jimmy Garoppolo going to stay at quarterback for the 49ers. Obviously, still no George Kittle. And Debo Samuel popped up with the injury report with a calf. He's been limited. It sounds like it's not serious, but with, you know, Kittle having a calf injury and so many other players having calf injuries, they're just kind of being safe with Debo. I think he plays, but something to definitely keep an eye on. He's been ridiculous. I mean, he has like 34% of the team targets, 40+% of the receiving yards. Like, Chris Collinsworth talked about it on the Sunday night broadcast. Like, they don't have. This is Devontae Adams type role for Debo. It's just like Debo's getting all the looks, and it's, oh, we'll sprinkle on a target to Brandon Ayuk when he's on the field and Ross Dwelly. So keep an eye on that. But really, it's really just Elijah Mitchell for me, who I wrote in my value article on both sites, especially FanDuel. I think he's underpriced. On FanDuel, he is 5,800, and he's more appealing there because he's not playing third downs. Jermichael Hasty's back. He played every third down last game. But, I mean, 18 carries. He still played 60+% of the snaps. It's a run first offense. The Bears run defense, like, they're going to be without Akeem Hicks and I think Khalil Mack in this game. So Elijah Mitchell at 5,400 on DraftKings and 5,800 on FanDuel, I don't think anybody's going to play him. And clearly, like, he looked good last game. The vision was great and they kind of went away from him in the second half. It was really all the first quarter he did that work. But I think Elijah Mitchell is sneaky in tournaments. And another reason why I'm not probably going to find myself on the Buffalo running backs, because I prefer Elijah Mitchell, who's right in that same price range as Zach Moss, at least.
Yeah, I'd rather him as well, too, because you just know he's going to get, at least 15 carries. I mean, he's had that in 3 of his 4 games.
Sermon just didn't even play a snap.
He didn't at all. It's crazy. That's a conversation for another day and how the 49ers
That's a conversation for
drafts.
D-Bro.
Oh, yeah, for Debro, for sure. And even, like, Brandon Ayuk, like, you draft this guy last year, what, in the first round, and then you can't find a way to get him really involved at all. I know they want to run, like, some two
something
wide receiver
pops up
sets.
With him and, like, the news headlines every week about, like, why Kyle Shanahan either isn't getting involved or if that he's trending in the right direction. And it's just, and then every Sunday, it's like, oh, he played 25% or 40% of the snaps and had one target. Like, it's.
It doesn't. I don't fully get it, man. Like, there's got to be some sort of. Maybe some off field thing. Maybe he's not impressive in practice.
Something popped something up there about his weight the other day. It's just like. Hmm. It's something every day, like you said. And that's why Debo is just getting everything. But.
Yeah.
For me, it's Elijah Mitchell. If you want to play Debo, I get it with the volume, but like I just don't love this game environment. For me, it's.
Me
just, this could be a 20 carry game for Elijah Mitchell.
It
and
should be.
I think he's overlooked, and I think he's underpriced given his role.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we'll see a lot of offense in this game. This is a an easy under for me. I don't know. I'm not saying it's an easy pick to make, but I actually kind of feel like it is an easy pick to make, but it doesn't mean it's gonna happen. But I just don't see a lot of offense. I think both teams are gonna run the football here. We're not seeing Justin Fields really throw it at all. Surprisingly, Herbert was able to have 100 yards last week against that Bucs defense. But these are two teams that are gonna slow it down. They're going to run the football. They're going to try to get creative with the run. And then neither team is going to, like, neither quarterback is going to be, near the top 10 in terms of pass attempts for the week. They're just not going to throw a lot. We're not seeing anybody inside these offenses apart from Debo ball out. That's it. This is the only guy. So I agree with you. Elijah Mitchell, every time this guy plays and he's healthy, he seems to be right around that 17 carry mark, and there's not a lot of running backs inside this price point in this range of like mid fives that you can count on 17 plus touches. And hopefully he can catch a couple balls. You're right, Hasty last week, and but there has been a couple games this season where he's caught a couple. It's just you don't need it, but it's an added element that it's very possible. But I think he plays a bulk of the snaps and gets a majority of the touches, so he is appealing. But you're right, like from a fantasy, from a like a game stack standpoint, like. It's just like there's no real appeal.
For the Bears side, is it the same thing? Is it just Khalil Herbert? I mean, he's looked really good. Damian Williams was back and didn't play a ton of snaps. I wonder if that was conditioning. Like, it's very possible he gets more involved. But, like, with Khalil Herbert, like, rushing for 65 yards against Tampa Bay is impressive. But he went for 100, like you said. Like, that just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. He's looked great.
He's looked awesome.
I think, like, I don't know how you have any faith in Allen Robinson or Darnell Mooney right now. For me, and like, I'd rather play Mitchell in this game, and I'm not playing both running backs in a lineup. So for me, it's Mitchell over Herbert, but like, Herbert's been fantastic. And look, still don't, Dave Montgomery probably won't be back till like week 11.
Yeah. He's been getting, even his first start, he played more snaps than Damian Williams. He had 18 for 75. And then I wondered if he would catch any passes. And then he caught a couple against the Packers and he was 19 for 97. And then that game last week where Damian Williams came back, I thought, okay, Damian's probably going to get the passing down work in this spot. And it really wasn't the case. It was Herbert had 5 targets and 5 grabs on top of 18 for 100. So he has been really good. I expect him to get another 17 carries, maybe catch a couple balls. But I'm with you. Like, I don't want to play both backs here. I'd rather play Elijah. I think, though, if I was playing 10 lineups or so, I may have one with Khalil Herbert just because, like I said, there's not a lot of running backs in this price range where you can bank on, I don't know, like 20-plus opportunities. I mean, the guy had 23 opportunities last week, and he had 22 the week before that. So he is getting a lot of opportunity. But this offense stinks. It's not very good. They're not scoring a lot of points. I don't know where the ceiling is. It's going to be a slow-paced game. So I kind of got to cross them off my list. But like I said, 10 lineups. I'll have one chair.
All right, let's move on to a more interesting game. The Tennessee Titans at the Indianapolis Colts. I believe the total is pushing 51 points. T.Y. Hilton listed as questionable for this game. Other than that, the Colts are good to go. Let's start there. Jonathan Taylor is on an absolute heater right now. What's 6 touchdowns over his last 4 games? I think it's 6. 100 yards rushing in 3 of those 4 games. And the usage last game was very encouraging. He fumbled his first carry, and I was like, "Oh, great! This is about to go awkward and awfully." And then he comes out and he plays 70% of the snaps. So his snap share has gone up every game since week 3, and he had his first 20-touch game on Sunday night since week 1. So love to see that. Taylor looks incredible. I mean, these are the two leading rushers in the NFL going at it: Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor. Of course, Henry's like 500 yards more than it's. I don't think it's 500, but it's a lot.
Probably pretty close.
Yeah, I like this game. I think it's very stackable. Taylor is obviously a great play. You can make the case he's even a little bit underpriced at 7,200, given how good he is. And then Michael Pittman's interesting here too. 5,300. He's also very cheap on both sides. He's kind of been cheap on both sides for a while. You obviously feel a lot better about it if T.Y. Hilton's out, but Michael Pittman makes an incredible catch over a defender every single week. Deeper and I were talking about Pittman on Wednesday, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, this guy has, like, if there was a metric that showed the amount of, like, mosses a player has over a defender, Pittman would be top five. And then Deeper looked on the site on advanced receiving, and we have, like, a stat that's pretty much, like, the amount of number of catches that require skill, high pointing the ball and traffic and stuff like that. And Pittman was seventh. So, like, he is making those plays every week. Tennessee secondary is banged up. It's bad. I think Pittman's in play even if T.Y. plays. But if he's out, I'm like, oh, I'm not lock buttoning him, but I'm pretty close.
Yeah, I think either way, man, like he's been very impressive. It's like the one pick I think I made in that dynasty startup in the between us three, me, you, and D-Bro.
Yeah, we don't talk about that league.
No, I'd imagine you guys don't talk about that league. We've all had some issues and some injuries that have happened.
D-Bro and I are combined 2 for 12 in that
league. I think he just got his first win last week,
which is huge for me too, because I'm trying to wrap up that that first overall selection. So we face each other this week. So
yeah,
we don't talk about that league.
But I did grab Pittman in that league, and I've been pleasantly surprised with him. I know there was a debate at the start of the season between him and Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell's on IR again, unfortunately for him. But Pittman has been impressive. Carson Wentz, it's clearly been his guy. I mean, he's got a 36% of the team's air yards and a 22% target share. Nobody else, really. I mean, Zach Pascal has a 15% target share, but everybody else is like 10 and below. And, you know, you were talking about Jonathan Taylor. I think the biggest thing for me, and I didn't realize how brutal Nyheim Hines has been. I mean, he has been awful, right? I mean, last year Hines was kind of getting in the way from Taylor, and it took a little bit of time for Taylor to get involved. Now Hines did have 8 carries last week, but other than that, like, this
I think
is a guy,
three of them came
they came late
that last drive because Taylor had a minor very minor rib thing, and they were like, oh, we're just gonna let, you know, whatever. Both Hines and Taylor popped up the injury report on Tuesday with the ribs. They're practicing in full. They're off the injury report. They're good to go. Yeah.
I mean, you just look at Hines. I mean, this guy has fewer than 3 fantasy points in 4 straight games and in 5 of his 7. So, like, he hasn't really been a factor in this offense. That does make me feel pretty good about Taylor. We all want him to be used as a bell cow back and, you know, get 90% of the snaps. And it's very possible in this game that he does get a big bulk of the opportunity here. So I am into him. I think he's underpriced. But yeah, I mean, Pittman is a player, man. He's good. I mean, you talk about some of the stats that FTN has to offer. I mean, at 5'3", it's pretty crazy, considering he's had two of his last 3 have been 20 fantasy point showings. He had a 23% fantasy point showing in week 2 against a very tough Rams defense. He's getting targeted down the field, so there's that opportunity for a big play as well. Over the first few games of the season, he wasn't. His ADOT was super low. It was like bubble screens, and I was like, oh my goodness, is this all that Carson Wentz is going to do? Because there was a couple games, 12 targets, 8 grabs, 12 targets, 6, you know, he was getting 6 for 60, 6 for 50, and then all of a sudden, I could feel they're taking more shots down the field. You saw it last week against San Fran, a big shot downfield. He had made a nice catch. There's a similar one against Baltimore a couple weeks before that as well. I like him. I think he's a really good player, and Carson Wentz and him seem to be on, you know, the same page. There's a lot to like from this game, though, man. I really like it as well.
I mean, Carson Wentz right now, I wrote about it in the value article, he's completing 54% of his deep passes this year. It's the second best mark in the league. And I think that's more of a Michael Pittman stat, honestly.
I agree.
Like, if you look at Wentz is underthrowing so many deep balls. He's getting a lot of pass interference calls because of it. But, like, Michael Pittman is making some awesome plays down the field. But, like, that bodes well for Wentz, who I actually don't hate either in this spot. Wentz is actually 14th in the NFL in fantasy points per dropback, so he's been pretty good. He's playing better football than you think, minus, like, the first week or two of the season. And he's facing a Titans defense. Yeah, they just shut down the Chiefs offense, but I think that's more of the Chiefs having issues right now than Titans defense being good.
Yeah.
72.5% of the yardage allowed by the Titans this year has come through the air. It's the 7th highest rate in the NFL. And they've also allowed 5 deep passing touchdowns this year. It's the 3rd most in the league, which bodes well for Wentz, who's taking more shots down the field. So I think Wentz and Pittman is a nice stack. And then obviously Derrick Henry, if you want to play him and get 30 touches, probably something you should look to do. But I love AJ Brown here. Coming off his best game of the season, he's now been really good in back-to-back games. I think Julio Jones does play. I think we're going to see this from Julio all year, where it's Wednesday and Thursday, he kind of rests, and then Friday he's limited or full, and he's active on Sunday. But either way, I mean, the Indianapolis Colts against number one receivers, it's been bad. Like, they've been getting torched, right? Whether you know, at the time when Russell Wilson's healthy, like, if whether you think it's Tyler Lockett or Russell or DK Metcalf is the one or 1A, whatever. But Tyler Lockett went for 100 yards and two touchdowns against the Colts earlier in the season. I think it was week one. And then you look across the board, right? Cooper Kupp in week two, 9 for 163 and 2, which Cooper Kupp does against everybody. Week four, Devontae Parker, 4 for 77 and a touchdown. Week five, Hollywood Brown went for 9 for 125 and two touchdowns. Week six, Brandon Cooks, like you mentioned earlier, 9 for 89. And then on Sunday Night Football, in the rain and bad weather, Debo still went for 7 for 100 and a score. Mm-hmm. Their bottom five in passing touchdown rate allowed at 7.2%. This is a smash spot for A.J. Brown.
Yeah, it really is. And he's plus money at 5.5 grabs is one I gave out on Main Streets this morning, too. His last two games have been great. I agree with you. I think Julio is probably going to be that guy that, you know, just gets a limited practice on Friday. But he's just been a non-factor anyways. It seems to be one or two targets for him. He did have actually a nice catch and run last week, but it was called back. But A.J. Brown, he's looking healthy. He's over the whole Chipotle thing. He's gotten back-to-back games with 9 targets.
How mad does Chipotle have to be about
that? Oh, man, they got to be livid. They got to be, man.
I don't know about you, but I've never been like I've always been in the camp that Chipotle is kind of overrated. Like, I'd rather go somewhere else. But like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, a professional athlete having that Chipotle happen.
Yeah.
And now everybody else like, well, I'm not trying to get sick.
Why would I want Chipotle? Yeah, we had our guy George make a graphic for us on the Sunday morning betting show with A.J. Brown and, you know, Chipotle, some sort of rap in his face and stuff. So we had some fun with it. But, he still said like he felt sick for days after that. But, I mean, didn't look like he was sick at all against the Chiefs. And the game against your Bills, when he had 9 targets, 7 grabs, I think all of those catches came in the second half of that game. So he's still kind of going through something
It was honestly A.J. Brown doesn't need a running back to set things up for him. Like, he's mm-hmm. one of the 10 best receivers in football, I think. But like, that game was Derrick Henry. Like, the Bills are a team, they always have been, where Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde play back and they play deep and they don't allow you to get passing plays. But a lot of that was in the second half. Derrick Henry, you know, the defense collapsed towards Derrick Henry. The middle of the field was wide open for A.J. Brown on the crossers. So, yeah, I just think he's like, when he's good and healthy and full strength and good to go, he's a player that's, you know, 7K and up, and he's not right now. He's still 6,900. He's close to it, but I love him in the spot. He's one of my favorite plays of the slate. I love running it back. Like, I love a Wentz, Pittman, A.J. Brown stack, or a Wentz, mm-hmm. Pittman, Derrick Henry stack. Like, I think you can go a lot of ways in this game. Like I said, the total is around 51 points. But that's it. Like, I mean, I don't think you can play Julio right now. You're not playing anybody else in this offense other than Henry. And if you want to play Ryan Tannehill, I don't love his price at 6,600. Like, I think that's too much for him given how underwhelming he's been this year for fantasy.
Yeah.
But if you're stacking this game, like, I get it.
Yeah, I get it too, but I'd rather just play AJ and then bring it back with maybe some Colts. But according to a wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, I mean, he's got a top 10 matchup here against Isaiah Rodgers. You just had a lot of statistics against. I mean, the Colts have been, again, according to Football Outsiders, rush DVOA defense, have been the number one rush defense in the league. And, you know, not to say that Derrick Henry won't do anything, but that's going to be the focus on the Colts to be able to try to stop Derrick Henry. And so, I mean, A.J. Brown is, I think he definitely hits that century mark. I think he's in for a massive day. And you're right. I mean, this is a guy who should be priced into the mid sevens. I mean, that's how he started the season as a 7K player. His price is really, you know, he's back up there kind of, but still to the point where he should be mid sevens.
Yeah, I clearly we like this game. I think there's a lot of different ways you can go with it, and we'll see if T.Y. Hilton is active come Sunday morning. Pittsburgh.
If T.Y. plays, sorry to cut you off. T.Y. plays, I may have to have one share too, right? With T.Y.
You can't. He's not facing Houston. You're not allowed. You're literally not allowed to play T.Y. Hilton unless he's going against Houston Texans.
It's crazy how he lights up that team. And then he came back and played a little bit. I kind of overlooked him, though.
What's his? I mean, 4,900.
He's 4,900.
He wasn't a full-time player in his first game back.
He wasn't, I know.
So, like,
that's one knock.
The quad does scare me. Yeah, it's risky.
Very.
But, I mean, he looked good. Again, does it count, though? Like, if he did that against any other team, I'd be like, wow, he's back. But it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's
just
on
came
the
back to burn the team that he owns, right? And then he's off on the sidelines again.
There is the narrative. I think they were talking about, like, I remember last year, I think it was against Texans, too, during Halloween, like, T.Y. was wearing the mask pregame. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah, he went
off. I think
off.
He's doing that again if he plays in this game. So there's nice. That narrative for you.
Nice,
but I digress. Let's go to Pittsburgh and Cleveland. This could be meh. I mean, Baker Mayfield sounds like he's going to play with the shoulder. There's zero chance he's 100%. So, yeah, I'm good on Odell Beckham or Jarvis Landry or really anybody from this offense except for maybe Nick Chubb, who looks to be back. Obviously, Kareem Hunt's not going to play. D'Ernest Johnson has probably carved himself out a role. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be the role that Kareem Hunt had before getting hurt? I don't know. Nick Chubb could be very interesting in tournaments here. I don't think many people are going to want to play him. Pittsburgh's run defense is pretty good. But, I mean, the last time we saw them, Alex Collins was destroying them in the second half of that game. I think Chubb is very interesting in tournaments. Other than that, though, like, nobody from this entire game stands out. Like, Deontay at 6'7", you could say, is underpriced. He's getting 10 targets if he plays the majority of the snaps. That's just a fact. I mean, maybe Freiermuth at 3,600 if Ebron's out, but, like, there's cheaper tight ends that actually have better roles. I don't know. Like, I think the most interesting thing in this game, obviously, is the usage between Chubb and D'Ernest Johnson, because it's not like D'Ernest Johnson is going to come in and take Nick Chubb's role, but like maybe after watching him play well and Nick Chubb having, you know, maybe not being fully 100%, maybe it's like, you know, 18 carries for Chubb and, you know, 10 for D'Ernest Johnson.
Yeah, and I think he deserves more touches. I mean, why wouldn't you give him more touches? And I try to think of this game too. And if, you know, Nick Chubb is coming back here, I'm sure they wouldn't play him if he was like even 90%. I mean, they got bigger aspirations, and they just saw what Johnson did and what he could do. So like, why would you roll him out if he wasn't 100%? So I feel like if he does play in this game, and you're right, it sounds like he is going to play and make his return. And this is probably a guy that, you know, gets up into that 17 carry mark again. But I wonder if Johnson still gets double-digit carries because, I mean, let's just think. Let's just say he does take the Kareem Hunt role, or maybe he doesn't catch five or six passes, but maybe he gets double-digit carries. I mean, look at Hunt, 13 carries, 10, 14, 12. Like, this is a guy who has had double-digit carries even with Nick Chubb getting 20 carries. It's no secret what the Browns want to do. They want to run the football, especially at home. They want to run the football. I'm with you on Baker and his weapons. I can't go there. I can't go Landry, even though I was impressed with his first game back from IR. I can't get to Odell Beckham Jr. They're just not on the same page. Every time he falls, he's in pain.
It's so weird. Odell's price. I think he's 4,600.
He's super cheap, but I just can't do it.
And I still don't want
to
play him. Like,
no, I can't get to
him. He's already had issues with Baker, right? We know he's not been as good in fantasy, like, at all. And now Baker's got a shoulder that's not 100%. Like,
and
this is going to be
a shoulder.
This is yeah, he does have a shoulder.
He does, one working one.
This is going to be 20 carries for Chubb and like probably like 8 to 10 for D'Ernest Johnson. It's really Chubb in tournaments at a probably, you know, less popular option, and that's it from this really entire game for me. Like, I'm not playing Ben. I mean, Najee is going to get the volume.
Najee's kind of interesting.
What's his
because
price?
He is going to he's
7.5.
It's,
I mean,
it's a little
Najee's
high
fine.
For me.
I prefer Mixon though. I prefer Taylor. I prefer the running back from the next game we're going to talk about, who finally gets priced up for the first time all year. I might even prefer, and I definitely prefer Henderson. I definitely prefer James Robinson. We'll talk. Like,
I agree.
The thing
with
Harris is, though,
he
can catch 8 balls, obviously, because he's among the league leaders at running back and routes run and targets, obviously.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that it makes him super appealing. And, you know, Big Ben, the last time he played Cleveland, he was at home. And, I mean, he threw the ball like 68 times. They were down in that game. They had no run game to think about. But, I mean, he struggled in that game. He couldn't throw the ball down the field. He's not any better this year at throwing the football down the field with accuracy. And it's been a lot of checkdowns inside this offense. But I'm with you at the start. Like, I don't think we need to talk ourselves into certain games. Like, I just... This game, San Fran and Chicago, I just don't see a lot of offense. I see teams maybe running the football here. Cleveland is a tough place to play. I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but it's always windy there right by the lake. Quarterback struggle, and Ben can't throw the football with accuracy anyways. I mean, you heard Kyler say the other day about how tough he didn't realize how, you know, tough it would be to throw the football at First Energy Stadium. I've been there a couple times, and I've seen very, very poor quarterback play on both sides. I think it's going to be a slow-paced game. I don't
think that's why the Browns haven't had a franchise quarterback since Baker.
It's probably it, man. Like, honestly, like, even, like, games, I went back and I remember my first game in Cleveland, and I was with a buddy, and I was like, this is why they run the football so much. I know Stefanski wants to run, and they got a great offensive line and two strong running backs, but they don't even really try to throw the football unless they need to. This is a team that they have those long drives. I mean, you saw it last week without Chubb and without Hunt. They were still able to put together like double-digit play drives, killing all kinds of time off the clock. And Cleveland does that to so many teams that I just find myself avoiding their games altogether. If I want to play Chubb in a tournament, no problem with it. I'm fine with it. Same thing with Harris. Cool with it. But there are other backs in better spots.
Let's move on to one of those running backs. DeAndre Swift and the Detroit Lions hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. Miles Sanders placed on IR. He was not expected to play in this game, but he is now officially on injured reserve. He'll be out at least the next three games. That's the only injury news from this game, but we led with it. Let's talk about Kenneth Gainwell. What are you doing with him? I think he's going to be one of the most popular plays the entire slate at $5,000 on DraftKings. He's already got a nice pass-catching role, but if you think Kenneth Gainwell is stepping into 15 touches and goal line work, I think you're mistaken. I talked about it earlier this week. They didn't commit to Miles Sanders all year. They were going to last Sunday. He had 7 touches on his first 12 snaps, I believe. Unfortunately, gets hurt. If they weren't committing to a very talented running back in Miles Sanders for the first 7 weeks of the season, they're not going to fully run. They're going to abandon the run even faster. Mm-hmm. And now Jordan Howard's taking reps at the first team in practice, probably will be activated for this game. He probably gets like 7-8 carries and goal line work. Gainwell on DraftKings, yes, he could catch 6, 7, 8 passes, but I am going to be way under the field on Kenneth Gainwell. I mentioned some of the running backs I prefer. The matchup's obviously great, but I think Gainwell, if he's as popular as I think he's going to be, I think I'm going to be off him a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a trap. Yeah, I don't think you can play this guy. I mean, if you picked him up in your season long, depending on your situation, I mean, I don't even have him ranked as a top 30 running back. I think he's just in a half point setting. I think I got him at like 31 or 32.
And I think most people will have him top 30. So
yeah, and I just don't think you can trust this Philly organization at all. I mean, the coaching, the play calling has been absolutely pathetic. Now, this is a game where maybe they hang around and they're favored in this game, and maybe this game is competitive where they run the rock a little bit, but...
That's the other thing. Like, I don't even know if we can just sit here and say, oh, the Eagles are going to be up. Detroit's played hard against everybody.
And I gave Detroit on the show. I don't think the Eagles should be favored against anybody in the league. Dude, so I gave them a +3.5. They're 3.5 favorites, Philly.
Okay, I get it. But, like, listen, Detroit has had, what, one game this year? It's really one half where they haven't played hard. And it was the second half of that Packers game, like, in week two where Aaron Jones had 704 touchdowns. Other than that, played the Rams really hard. Should have beaten the Ravens. They won that game. Yeah. But in Detroit Lions fashion, ends in heartbreak. Like they're the Vikings. They should have won that game. Madison fumbles. They kick the field goal. Then they give up 2 like 30-yard completions to Thielen, and they lose that game. They played the Bears hard in Chicago, but Jared Goff had like 3 fumbles in that game. And then they obviously have that crazy come from behind almost effort.
And then they were up last on the Packers
game.
In week 2.
Sorry,
as
last
well.
Game.
They
yeah, yeah. Last Packers. Game against the Bengals, they stunk. Yeah. But other than that, like, they're playing hard every week. I don't think we can sit here and say, also, that's a bad thing for Kenneth Gainwell if the Eagles get up. That's not good.
It's not good. Listen, what I said earlier, I think, stands. The fact with Jordan Howard, he's getting first down reps and practicing with the team. Like, he is going to be active. Maybe he gets a couple carries, but I think people should be more worried about Boston Scott. I know Scott really wasn't a factor at all until last week, but Kenneth Gainwell put a ball on the ground last week. He has missed a lot of pass blocking assignments, and that's why, you know, even with Miles Sanders not doing a whole lot this year and not getting a lot of carries, he's a really good pass blocker. He can pick up blitzes really, really good, and there's a significant difference between him and Gainwell in that capacity of the game, and that's why we saw Boston Scott last week come in, and even though he only had 7 attempts on the ground, those were mostly on first and second down reps, and part of it could have been...
Three of them came inside the 10-yard line, too.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, though...
He's been using 4 inside the red zone.
Yeah, I will say, though, those carries I was watching, it was hurry-up offense in the fourth quarter. They were obviously trailing, but, like, I don't think Gainwell is going to be their back from inside the five, especially if Howard's active for this game. By the way,
it's a
we're
bloody
both,
mess.
We're both stupid. Julio Jones just got ruled out, so
well, there you go. Yeah, even more reason to like AJ. I mean, he's going to be one of the most popular wideouts, but I don't care. I think you eat that chalk, right? It's not going to be all Henry. Henry's going to get him his 20 plus carries. As we talked about, that Colts defense is pretty strong. It's very tough to stop Derrick Henry, but they're going to have to throw the football, and it's going to be to AJ. He's going to get double digit targets. Like we could project.
This is interesting
all
too.
The wideouts. He's going to be double digits.
This is interesting, too. I'll wait till we get to the game, but I will just say Jerry Jeudy apparently not practicing on Friday.
Oh, he's not going to play then.
That's interesting. But let's get back to this game. Yeah, like you can play Gainwell 100%. Go for it. He's not a bad play. I just think we're getting a little bit too excited about him. And again, if the Eagles are ahead in this game, not good for Kenneth Gainwell. Maybe he gets there, right? Maybe he scores. He could score in this game. Like, he scored a receiving touchdown last game.
Yeah,
he's like, again, at 5K with Miles Sanders out, he's not a bad play. I just think he's a little bit overhyped in
the
slate.
The guys to play in this game are Swift and Devontae and Goddard.
You just play DeAndre Swift. Another reason why I'm not on Najee Harris. Like, he finally got priced up, but, I mean, this is a great spot for him. He's getting this awesome, like Aaron Jones, Alvin Kamara usage, right? 12 carries a game, upwards to 6, 7, 8 receptions per game, getting goal line carries. The Eagles play a lot of zone. That's good for pass catching running backs. And like, it's just the usage is great. The Eagles, like you look at the Eagles, I think we could see Slay on Hockenson in this game. Mm-hmm. And like, there's nobody else that covers Swift. But if Slay doesn't cover Hockenson, he could be very sneaky here. So you look at the Eagles' defense. Like I said, they play a lot of soft zone defense. They've now allowed a touchdown to 5 straight tight ends. Mm-hmm. And that list might be even less appealing than the list I mentioned that the Texans have given up to tight ends. It's been back in week 2 or 3, it was Dalton Schultz who had 2 touchdowns against him. Then it was Jody Fortson, not Travis Kelce, against the Chiefs. Tommy Tremble, O.J. Howard, and last week it was Foster Moreau. Like, they struggled against a position. I think Hockenson's pretty sneaky here. But I agree, yeah. Swift's, especially on DraftKings, I just want to keep playing him.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. The two tight ends that I gave on the show this morning was Hockenson and Goddard from this game. Yeah, Hockenson showed up last week and looked pretty good. I mean, he was definitely battling through a knee injury for those 2 weeks where he was just dead performances. But also, I noticed teams are really focusing in on T.J. Hockenson, which may be the case. I do expect Darius Slay to be on Khalif Raymond, but they could switch it up if Hockenson is eating them up. But both of these tight ends, I mean, even on the other side with Dallas Goedert, now that Zach Ertz is no longer in the picture, he basically played a majority of the snaps, and that was his first game off COVID. So I expect that to, continue to rise. I think he will be, a big player for Jalen Hurts in the second half of the season. 5 targets had a season high for him, and 70 yards was a career high. And he was getting targeted, not a career high, a season high for him. And he was getting targeted down the field. But with this tight end, with the landscape of the tight end position this week, I mean, both guys for me are certainly in play. And Smith as well, because we're sitting here talking about the running backs. But as you said earlier, this team, I will be absolutely furious if they just decide to give Kenneth Gainwell like 15 carries. Obviously, all of a sudden,
no way.
Like, what the heck? Like, you're not using the better back in Miles Sanders. So there's all those backs in there, and Jalen Hurts.
If anybody
Hurts
gets 15 carries
ball.
In this game, it's going to be Jordan Howard.
My
or Boston
goodness,
Scott.
It better not be. It better not be either of them, because
bro,
they haven't been given
you,
a good
Jordan
back
Howard,
in Sanders those amount of carries.
I promise you, if Jordan Howard is active for this game, which it looks like he will be, because he was taking reps as the first team on offense in practice. He is getting 12 carries in this game if the Eagles have a lead. Like,
and everybody will lose their mind, and they're right to lose their mind, because Miles Sanders is a good back. I don't understand it. But nonetheless, Devontae Smith, you look back at the last 4 games, 3 of them have been pretty solid in terms of targets. He had at least 9 targets in 3 of the 4, at least 5 grabs in 3 of the 4 as well. The one game he didn't, they didn't use him properly. That's part of the coaching. But against Tampa Bay, he was really just shut down in that game. He had 4 targets, 2 grabs. But this is a much better spot for him. I still think Jalen Hurts is dropping back and throwing the ball 35 plus times in this game.
And we like Hurts again, right? I mean, I saw you tweet about like everybody's making a huge deal out of the fourth quarter fantasy points, and it's true, but like your tweet was like, yeah, they still count. Like, I'll
They're
take
all
them.
Adding up the same.
It's evergreen. It's every single week.
Yeah.
20 plus fantasy points for Jalen Hurts. He's running for at least 30 yards in every single game, including 60 in like 4 of those games. Or sorry, 40 plus in 4 of those games, 60 plus in 3 of those games. So he's obviously got that floor-ceiling combo. You can pair him with Smith. And I think Goddard's a good call, too. First game without Zach Ertz, The Eagles go 13% 12 personnel, which is down from their 21% average before that from weeks 1 to 6. Mm-hmm. And then Goddard ran around on 35 of Jalen Hurts' 40 dropbacks. Yeah. So that's great usage from Dallas Goddard.
And Swift's going to eat him up. I know we don't need to talk about him anymore, yeah. But yeah, he's going to eat them up. And what I liked about Swift so far the past couple games is, you know, early in the season was Jamal Williams to start games, to start drives. But over the past couple, I've noticed it's been Swift, and it's nice to see him get some first and second down work. But yeah, I mean, with Najee out last week with the bye, I mean, I think he's passed him now in terms of targets, catches, and receiving yards. And you know, I know they're not going to, who knows? I don't think they're going to be playing from behind. I think this is a game that I could actually have the lead or win this game. But he's still in line for.
I'm gonna call this right now.
Detroit wins.
Detroit finally wins, but not only do they win, they get revenge on all the heartbreaks. They're going to win in overtime.
When it would be a heartbreaking loss for the Eagles, although that would be a good one for Philly fans.
The Detroit Lions are going to win this game in overtime. That is my call of the week. Let's move along to Carolina and Atlanta. Oh, man. This passing game for Carolina is broken right now. Luckily, DJ Moore is so good that he's still giving you floor games. 73 yards in back-to-back games, 23 targets from that span. I mean, the floor is great for him. We know the ceiling's there. He's still getting an insane amount of targets. So I'm still going to go back to DJ Moore and hope Sam Darnold can, you know, get things going here. He's really the only player from Carolina I've interested in. I was on Chuba last week. I don't think he's a bad play at 6K, but my interest is with DJ Moore. I mean, Robbie Anderson's getting an insane amount of targets as well. He's doing little with the targets he's getting as any player I've seen in football for a long time. It is really, really ugly in Carolina right now.
I know, man. It's crazy the fact that he has so many targets. I mean, he's getting double-digit targets. He leads the league in drops. In fact, there's three Panthers who are in the top 10 in drops. DJ Moore is right there, and Chuba Hubbard is there as well. But I'm with you. I think DJ's fine. You know, it's just this Carolina offense. I mean, Sam Darnold looks like the old Sam Darnold. He's not playing with a lot of confidence. He's turned the ball over way too much. They just don't really have an identity without CMC. It looked okay at first with Chuba Hubbard. He had a couple strong games, but I've noticed a Sam Darnold who's just kind of panicking. They're allowing some pressure. And he's making a lot of mistakes. I was wondering if you would go to Robbie. Like, how many lineups do you need to play Robbie? Like, how many people are going to play Robbie Anderson? 11 targets, 7, 11, 9. Like, the volume is there, man.
I played him against Minnesota in week 6, and he scored in that game. And I was like, this is still a terrible game. He had 11 yards.
It's brutal.
It's weird because they obviously play together with the Jets, but like they're just not on the same page. Like no. Anderson stopping on routes that Darnold thinks he's going to keep running and vice versa is very weird. Mm-hmm. It's DJ Moore or bust for me. I am going to play some DJ Moore because, like I said, like worst possible situations for this passing game the last few weeks, and Moore's still getting you 70 plus. Like dating back to last year, he gets 70 plus yards on like over half of his games at least. Like his floor is there.
He's a beast.
Yeah, and like we've seen him. With McCaffrey out, get a couple snaps each week in the backfield. So I like DJ Moore in tournaments a lot, but that's it for me. For like some people might go to Darnold at 5-6 against a bad Falcons defense.
Don't do it.
I mean, he can't do any. Like the rushing touchdowns fell off a cliff, and now he's not doing anything. Surprise! He had 112 pass. He hasn't reached 210 passing yards in 3 straight games. And 2 of those games, I mean, they're facing the Giants, Vikings, and Eagles. It's not like it's, you know, powerhouse defenses. So I'm out on Carolina outside DJ Moore. For Atlanta, I mean, first game out of the bye, we see two things, two kind of developments in this offense. Cordarrelle Patterson taking over as kind of the lead back,
yeah,
and Kyle Pitts being used down the field. And I will say this, and I have said this on the recap podcast, I will put, and again, it's, you know, this can change obviously as the season goes on, but through the first 7 weeks of the season, I will put Kyle Pitts' week 7 film against the Miami Dolphins up with any player's film this year. It was one of the most impressive performances of the 2021 NFL season, without question.
Yeah, I mean, he's awesome. You're really starting to see the confidence, not just with him, but also with Matt Ryan throwing him the football. He's been fantastic. He's the best tight end on the board this week. He's been really involved through the air over the past couple of games. Even when you saw last week with Calvin Ridley come back, he still was able to get 8 targets, 7 grabs, back-to-back weeks. He's hit the century mark through the air. Yeah, he's I mean, we all knew that this was coming eventually, and you know, it's got to be tough. You hear the narrative before, you know, all the time. You hear it with young tight ends and learning the playbook, but he's just a freak, man. You know, I think at first they were using him, you know, and they're still using him, you know, line out wide and things like that. But,
oh, it's,
you know,
so beautiful. He was out wide like 40% of the time last week.
Yeah, and I also think even when he lines up in the middle as a tight end, I mean, it's a mismatch with the linebackers. Yeah. He gets away from the corners, but dude, it doesn't matter. It's a mismatch all over the field.
It's not even fair because there's not a single linebacker, like, you know, Darius Leonard, Fred Warner, some of the best linebackers in the league. Like, it's a tough matchup for them. And then against any other linebacker, it's over. Yeah. And then you look at last week, he lines up out wide in single man coverage against a top five corner in the NFL and Xavier Howard and beats him for 28 yards down the sideline. Like, yeah. Like, that's why it was so impressive to me. He was winning over the middle, down the side. Like he's been in line on like 40 snaps all year. Like, he's in the Mike Gesicki role, but like a better player.
Oh yeah.
And it's awesome. Sure. Yeah. So I think he's absolutely in play with his usage we're seeing. And they're not throwing down the field right now unless it's to Kyle Pitts. Hopefully that changes with Calvin Ridley. Speaking of Ridley, I mean, he got there with a touchdown. He's still got like a 28% target share this year, double digit targets in four straight games. But he's not being used down the field. I mean, this is a guy last year, and Calvin Ridley led the NFL in air yards, but like there is not a whole lot of downfield potential there. But 6,600 for a, you know, a player as talented as him, getting the targets he's seeing, I still have some interest.
I got some interest too. And I think a lot of people are going to be interested in Pitts, and I understand it. I think you could go Pitts. I think this could be a big Matt Ryan, even though Carolina do have some respect for their defense. I think it could be a Pitts, Ridley. I think, you know, if you are going to avoid Pitts, then maybe you get involved with Ridley just to be a little bit different. His price is 6'6", but I do believe a lot of people will go to Kyle Pitts here. And I think people are sour on Calvin Ridley. But at the end of the day, you are right about how they're using him and he's not getting targeted. That is certainly a concern, like targeted down the field. But he's third in the NFL in targets per game. Like, he's still getting a lot of targets, at double digit targets in four straight games, and the one he didn't was week one. And then it was so weird that one game in week one. I mean, he caught three or four passes in the opening drive, and then he was just kind of forgotten about the rest of the game.
Man, I remember that. I was expecting, like, I was like, oh, this is gonna be a huge game for Ridley. Yeah. I remember that.
But I mean, he's still, like, for a guy at 6'6" getting double digit targets, I mean, he's still getting it. And you're right, I mean, it's back to back weeks for Cordarrelle Patterson with 14 carries. Mike Davis was not used at all.
Cordarrelle Patterson is underpriced, right?
Yeah, he is. And I have a hard time playing him because I've started to come around the fact that it's just going to be a Cordarrelle Patterson season. But there's, you know, he, like I said, 14 carries in back-to-back weeks and 14 targets over that span too. So he's been used, you know, as a guy that's getting 20 opportunities here and there. Usage out of the backfield and catching balls out of the backfield, which has kind of hurt Calvin Ridley a little bit too. But Mike Davis has definitely taken a back seat, and this is Peterson's backfield for now, or Patterson.
Yeah, I think he's perfectly in play. I don't know if Mike Davis is only going to get four carries again, but clearly they made an effort coming out of the bye to get Patterson even more involved. So,
yeah.
All right, we got four games left. Let's get through them. The Patriots travel to the West Coast to take on the Chargers. Austin Eckler, you know, pops up with the injury report on Friday with a hip injury. Apparently, he suffered it on Wednesday.
It's not good.
I haven't seen anything yet on him today, Friday. Something we obviously need to keep tabs on. If he sits, I'm not playing a Chargers running back. It's going to be some Roundtree. It's going to be some Kelly, some Justin Jackson. Like, I'm good. I'll go somewhere else. But, I mean, Austin Eckler is getting a ton of targets. I mean, we just – if he doesn't play, I mean – Keenan Allen, Mike Williams obviously been the higher upside, better fantasy producer this year than Keenan Allen. But there's also a $1,200 difference. And I think with the Patriots playing a lot of man coverage, like, if they're going to, I think J.C. Jackson probably covers Mike Williams more in this game. So I think Keenan Allen, who, like, yeah, he's been a little bit of a disappointment, but he's still getting plenty of targets. This could be a potential buy-low spot for him at $6,500 for Keenan Allen. I think Jared Cook is kind of like a mid-range value at tight end at $3,400 that I don't hate either.
Yeah, I don't mind Cook. He scores a touchdown, you're loving it, but he has had, I mean, even the last time out, he had the seven targets, and he's had seven targets in two of his past three games. So he's getting at least some, you know, some work, and he's definitely looked at when the Chargers get inside the red zone when they don't run. It seems to be the guy. You know, Mike Williams was early on, and Mike Williams and some Keenan Allen, but I've noticed Cook has been getting some usage in the red zone as well. Yeah, it's going to be something that you're going to want to monitor. I was looking again just here on the fly what the deal is with Austin Eckler. He didn't practice yesterday because of that hip issue that popped up. Like you said, I mean, that's tough when that pops up midweek. It's usually not not a good sign. But I'm totally with you as well that I would just avoid the running backs in this situation. I can't get involved with Roundtree or Kelly or Jackson. And I think it would just mean more passing attempts for Herbert. And Keenan Allen at 6'5", I think is a pretty good play, even against Belichick and these Patriots. You know, this game, you know, it could be sneaky, man. It could be sneaky from a fantasy standpoint. You know, Harris is going to have some success running the football. I mean, you got the revenge spot, I think, for Henry. But forget that. I mean, he's been a guy that has a touchdown, I think, in four straight games. And the last two games, there haven't been a lot of targets, especially last week. I mean, they blew out the Jets. There's only four targets, two grabs. But if you look at other games that have surprisingly were competitive, the one against the Texans, when they were down for a majority of that game, he had eight targets and six grabs. So you could forget the revenge narrative all you want, but if the Chargers score some points, New England's going to have to get away from the run game, even though like that's what they want to do and they're going to have success running against them. I think the Chargers will I think that they can get to 24 points, say, and that may, you know, you may have to see Mac Jones. He may have to throw the football a little bit more. So I'm just out on guys like Jacoby Myers and Aguilar and these guys. Like, I don't know. Myers doesn't have a touchdown ever. Like, he got more passing touchdowns than receiving touchdowns. Aguilar, they do some Kendrick Bourne sneaky little stuff. Bourne's showing up here a little bit. But if Jonnu Smith doesn't play, and Kendrick Bourne, who does seem like he's on track to play, was limited practice this week. If these guys don't play, I think I'm gonna have to go back to Hunter Henry a little bit. But he's not my favorite tight end, obviously.
I think I'm gonna play. I think I'm going to sprinkle in Jonnu Smith in tournaments.
Are you?
They made it a concerted effort to get him the ball more to start that game, and then he left with the shoulder. He's only 2,800. Like, they gave him a handoff. I don't know why it's taken them this long to get one of the more talented tight ends in the league, who you paid a ton of money.
A ton of money, yeah.
Get him the ball in space and let him make plays. He's still right up there after George Kittle and some of these other tight ends. You can make the case he's the second best tight end in the league after the catch. When he's got the ball, like, he's that dangerous. I just don't get why they're not getting the ball more, but at least they tried to last week before he left with the shoulder. At 2,800, I'm going to sprinkle him into some tournament lineups. Damien Harris, more of a FanDuel play, obviously, in general, but especially this week, he's over 6K on DraftKings. Yes, on a per carry basis, he could be really good. The Chargers play a lot of zone, cover two zone. They play at their safeties back, and they kind of invite you to run the football. And the Patriots will happily oblige. They'll run the football, but if Justin Herbert and company get going and get up ahead in this game, we know Damien Harris is in trouble. And yeah, keep an eye on Austin Eckler's status. We'll probably get the news maybe by the time we're closing out this podcast. But if not, obviously, make sure you check the news and Twitter and all that great stuff. Let's go to Seattle, where the Seahawks host the Jacksonville Jaguars. Seattle, man. I mean, if this were the Russell Wilson Seahawks, I mean, it'd be like load up on everybody, right? Yeah. Play Metcalf, play Lockett. But they're obviously very conservative. And you saw the way they started that second half on Monday Night Football, right? Mm-hmm. Alex Collins getting like six straight carries up the gut against the best run defense in the NFL. Like, it's...
And did you hear Pete Carroll after? Did you hear him after?
I actually
didn't.
He said
he wanted to run the football more.
Oh, yeah, because
DeMario
Davis, like, all week leading up to it was like, I hope they try to run the football. Like, DeMario Davis was in that backfield every single play.
Oh, man, he was all over the plays. Yeah,
it's bad in Seattle.
Oh, man, Pete Carroll, I couldn't believe him after the game. I was watching. I was up late, and the press conferences came on. He popped up, and I was like, oh, let's hear what this guy has to say. And he's like, he said he wanted to run the football more, and they wish they were able to establish the run a little bit more. He realized that the Saints were one of the best run defenses over the past few years, but he was wondering why they weren't able to have success. I thought we would have had more success.
I don't know, Pete.
Like,
maybe because DeMario Davis knew it was coming and was just running
through your
defense.
Everybody knew it was coming. The first throw that Geno Smith had was a throw to DK on the sidelines, which converted for a touchdown, and then they didn't bother throwing his way. There was 31 minutes of real time before Geno Smith even threw another pass.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. So, yeah, I got to cross off everyone in Seattle.
Like, Marshall Lattimore's a good corner. Mm-hmm. But I don't care. Like, you don't go drives and quarters without throwing Metcalf the ball just because Marshawn Lattimore is covering you. Like, come on. But yeah, I mean, like, Tyler Lockett, you can't even play him in redraft leagues. Like,
no. Like
he has, he's obviously had that stretch before Wilson went down where he was having his, you know, bad games. And now it's like Lockett's not even getting attention from Geno Smith when he does throw. It's to Metcalf. Great matchup, obviously. It's as good as it gets, but like, if I were to play one, it'd be Metcalf at tournaments, but I don't even feel comfortable about that. We saw Rashad Penny get a lot of work in the first half of that game, his first game back, and then the second half they eased. They worked Alex Collins in. He didn't practice on Thursday with the groin. It's so weird seeing Jacksonville against a team, and you're like, do I really want to play anybody? Like, Metcalf can still go for 102 touchdowns if they throw him the ball. We saw the upside against one of the best corners in the league. So I might have Metcalf in some GPPs, but other than that, it's nothing exciting about Seattle right now. And at this point, like, I don't get it. You're 2-5, and your season's probably in jeopardy, but, like, you have to go for it. You can't just give Alex Collins and Rashad Penny carries up the gut and hope that you can kind of, because your defense sucks.
It sucks.
Yeah, their defense played better the last 2 weeks. They played a team with no receivers in the Saints, and they played a team with no passing attack and no downfield passing attack in the Steelers. Like, your defense is not good. So it's like, okay, we're going to win with running the ball. Like, that's not your MO anymore. This isn't 2010. Like, you need to just say, okay, we have two of the top 15, 20 receivers in the NFL. Let's just throw them the ball and let them make plays. And I just don't understand how they're not doing that, but it's obviously hurting everything. Jacksonville's a lot more interesting here. James Robinson's underpriced.
Yeah, James Robinson underpriced. It's a good spot, too. I know Seattle just had their way with Alvin Kamara, I guess stopping the run, not stopping the pass. I mean, he caught a bunch of passes, and he was just like dink and dunk all day. And then Carroll said that, too. Yeah, you know, we just gave him that. It's like, what do you mean you just gave him that? Like, there's one player to stop on the Saints, and you couldn't really stop him. But for like from a fantasy standpoint, from a rushing standpoint, like, Carroll's lost mind. It, man. He has lost. You're right. I mean, just listening to you talk, I'm like shaking my head over here on the side. I mean, the season's lost, and there were some plays, not to go on a crazy rant here, but there were some plays in that game and the week before with Geno Smith where there was like 3rd and 10 and they call a screen pass, and I could see with the play call, Russell Wilson's listening in and he just shaked his head right away. He knew that there was no chance to get a first down, and they weren't giving Geno Smith an opportunity or a chance to get that first down. They're basically just saying, that's it, we'll just give the ball away, and the season's lost. You're right, you got a stud in DK, throw it up to him. I mean, more times than not, he's going to come down with that catch because he's an absolute beast, and I don't think they're going to change their game plan at all this week. So that's why I agree, DK tournaments, I'm getting fired up here because Pete Carroll has completely lost it. But on the other side, these Jags, I like James Robinson. I like the price. He's fresh off the bye here, and he's just been used the way that we all wanted him to be used, right? It took Urban Meyer a little bit to figure it out, but he's had at least 17 carries in 3 straight. He's topped 73 yards in 4 straight games. He's had a touchdown in 4 straight games. He's actually had 5 touchdowns over that span. He's catching balls out of the backfield as well. So they are, earlier on in the season, you know this, fight. They were really, you know, playing it up tempo and throwing the football quite a bit, but it's been more of a balanced attack. James Robinson getting those carries that he deserves, and Seahawks have allowed the second most fantasy points, I believe, and they're in the top 4 of allowing rushing yards as well to running backs per game. So I like Robinson. I even like your guy Marvin Jones, and I think, you know what, if we're looking for a quarterback that's low, I know you mentioned Sam Darnold. I mean, why not Trevor Lawrence if you're looking to punt the position at 5-5? Like, he's running like around a little bit as well.
I like Lawrence. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, he's got 20 rushing yards at least. And that adds up. And I'm fine with Marv. I don't think I'm going to go there. I hope the bye week was a time period where Jacksonville can just, because LaVisca's playing out wide a lot more since Chark went down, which gives him higher upside targets, but he's obviously has, you know, less, you know, they're not as easy to convert. They're still using him in the short game as well, but I hope they use that bye week to get him more involved. I mean, Jamal Agnew might not be the worst at 3,700. He's actually getting targets. I mean, the last 2 games, he has 13 targets. And then Dan Arnold at 2,800. I'd rather play over Tommy Sweeney. You know, again, he's a pretty much a full-time player on a team that's usually trailing. Maybe they're not trailing this game, but I think there's some value to be had with Jacksonville, whether it's Lawrence, whether it's Arnold, whether it's maybe even Agnew, and then definitely with James Robinson, who now, over the last handful of weeks, is close to the usage we saw from him last year, which was elite usage, and it's a good matchup, and the price is too cheap. So, absolutely love James Robinson here. Let's go to the Jameis Winston revenge game. Oh, man. New Orleans at home against Tampa Bay. Antonio Brown out for this game. We will see about Rob Gronkowski, who practice in full. I don't think he's been ruled in or out yet, but it's trending towards Gronk returning. And then we have the Mike Evans, Marshawn Lattimore game. I mean, we see these guys go at it every year. For the most part, Lattimore has his number. And if that's the case again, Chris Godwin could have a nice game again, who's coming off a nice bounce back game. What do you think of this game?
I love Godwin. I know that. I love Godwin. Yeah, Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, these guys are going to get tossed. I thought Lattimore and DK were going to get tossed last week. These guys were getting into it. But yeah, he has had his way with Mike Evans. I know Evans has had a couple touchdowns against him, but for the most part, I mean, these games have been pretty quiet for Mike Evans, which makes me like Chris Godwin. I expect him to be pretty popular at 6'4", but that's chalk I'm going to eat. I really do like the spot for him. I think Gronk returns, but as you mentioned, Antonio Brown is most likely not going to play in this game. But for Godwin, was a strong game last week. He had 11 targets, 8 grabs. You attack the Saints in the middle of the field. He's got a plus matchup against Chauncey Gardner-Johnson this week if he is lined up, which I do expect that to be the case. You know, 99% of his defensive snaps have been really in that slot there, and Chris Godwin 67% of his snaps inside the slot. So I don't know how much success they're going to have running the football. We just talked about, you know, Pete Carroll just trying to run it and run it and run it. And I'm sure the Saints are looking at Tampa and they're looking at all the numbers that we have available at FTN and they're saying, oh, this is a team playing up tempo and they're throwing the football. But Leonard Fournette has looked pretty good over the past couple weeks, but I do still think that this is going to be a pass heavy offense.
Yeah. And these are the Saints, two best run defenses.
They are. And the Saints had their way in the first couple games last year against Tom Brady, but Brady was able to figure it out in game number 3. And he is just unstoppable this season. He really is. So I like Godwin at 6'4". He's actually one of my favorite plays this week. I think he could rack up another double-digit, you know, target usage. And then, you know, if he catches 5 or 6 passes, you know, scores a touchdown, I mean, this is another guy that probably could finish with 20-plus fantasy points, just like he did this past week. So I don't know if we're on the same page, but definitely like Godwin more than Evans. Evans
always gets the number one corner. It's not just a Lattimore thing. Like, other teams view him as, like, that guy to put your best corner on. Mm-hmm. But with Lattimore, it's been, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, they go at it. It's a real battle. And for the most part, other than a couple like 1 yard touchdowns, which Evans has a chance to score a 1 yard touchdown passing or receiving as much as pretty much anybody in football. But other than some like short yardage touchdowns, it's been a struggle for Mike Evans. So yeah, like I'm going to Godwin here. Gronk, if he's healthy and good to go, makes sense. And again, I don't love the spot, and the usage was a little bit different last game. Again, it was the game was over at the end of the first quarter. That's why we saw more Rojo. But like, given Leonard Fournette's role, he's underpriced at 6,300. Mm-hmm. He could still catch 6 balls in this game. His receptions have been really strong other than last game where they didn't need him. Mm-hmm. So I don't actually hate Fournette even against the Saints' elite run defense. And then you can pretty much double stack Tom Brady every week. We know the upside there with Godwin, and getting Gronk back and give him touchdown upside as well. For the Saints, I mean, Alvin Kamara, this was the right move for the Saints to bring in Mark Ingram, because as great as Alvin Kamara is, you know, I think he's the best running back in the league after Derrick Henry. I really do. But you don't want to give him 30 touches a game. You don't want to give him 25 carries a game like they did earlier the last couple weeks prior to the last two games. He was getting 24 and 26 carries. Like, you need him the rest of the season, and you want him in space. Yeah. So giving Mark Ingram like 5 to 6 carries a game and getting Kamara, like, Kamara's passing game work, it's been up and down this year, but it's been more up lately. We can kind of rely on that. So is Kamara like a building block for me on the slate? No, but I would never just say he's not in play. And that's it. You can't play anybody else in the Saints. I mean,
I agree.
You're not playing Callaway. I know the Tampa Bay secondary is bad and you beat them through the air, but 5,400, maybe you take a shot on Tre'Quan Smith. That's maybe it.
That'd be the only guy I think I'd take a shot at. I mean, the Bucs defense has been a little bit better lately too. So, I mean, they're starting to kind of take shape. They've been a little bit better. I agree with you on the whole Kamara thing, and, you know, bringing in Mark Ingram is a great move. And Sean Payton says he's absolutely going to get some touches this
I need somebody
week.
To Photoshop into his Saints jersey, though.
Yeah, it's going to have to happen. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, good on Alvin Kamara. I think, you know, he's a great running back, and he's getting all those carries. He hasn't been super efficient with those carries, but yeah, you don't want to drive him into the ground. I don't think he's a guy that you want to really give, you know, I don't know. He wasn't really on pace for 300 touches on the ground, but man, there's a lot of games where he had 20 plus.
There was a stretch where he set career highs in carries like back-to-back weeks.
Oh yeah, 24 like carries in 26.
Yeah,
50 carries in back-to-back weeks.
And dating back to the playoffs last year, he was getting 20 plus carries more often than not, which we don't see from Kamara. It's usually 13, 14 carries and then 6 receptions or so. I mean, he's awesome. Like,
yeah.
For me, like, there's always, you know, who's your favorite player that's not on your favorite team? And it's like, I have a lot of players, and Kamara's on that list. I love Kamara so much. He's awesome.
And 19 targets last 2 games, which is Really encouraging. But I think the Saints are going to struggle. I'm surprised Tampa's 4.5-point favorites here. I know the defense is really good, but I think the Bucs win this game by a touchdown. Yeah, you probably lean on Leonard Fournette a little bit. They could have more success running the rock. Like you said, he catches some passes, but I don't buy into the Jameis narrative. I don't think he's going to light up his former team. I think he could. They continue to, you know, run the football, maybe slow the pace down. Alvin Kamara gets those catches, but I mean, outside of Callaway, like which guy can you really feel great about rolling out here? It's Darth Rose.
Yeah. All right, let's close it out with the final game of the slate. The Washington football team traveling to Denver to take on the Broncos. And look, Jerry Jeudy was, you know, cleared and ready to go, it looked like. And now all of a sudden we get this news about 20 minutes ago that he's not at practice on Friday. They're going to speak to the media. I think Vic Fangio is shortly, but so here's the thing. Going into the week, expecting Jeudy to be back, I was in there at 4,900 on DraftKings. I was like, I think he's going to be full go. I'm playing Jerry Jeudy. I got to see what happened and if he had a setback or if they want to limit him. Because if he's limited in any capacity or obviously doesn't play, I can't go there. If he's out, I mean, Cortland Sutton, the air yards have been there all year. Washington's giving up a ton of deep passing plays. Their secondary's terrible. They're a pass funnel. Sutton would be an awesome play here. And even Tim Patrick at 4,700 wouldn't be bad. We just got to wait and see with Jeudy. And then like the backfield, it's still 50-50 split. Javonte Williams, like I love Javonte Williams, like absolutely love him. Love him. And I know we all want Javonte Williams to get 20 carries a game, but we also need to stop acting like Melvin Gordon's playing bad or something. Like Melvin Gordon's playing really well this year. So like, and he's like, as much as we like Javonte to get the work, they're going to split him because Melvin Gordon's playing great. So takes me off the backfield. Again, right now it's really just if you want to stack with Bridgewater, sure. But as it stands right now, until I get some more news on Jerry Jeudy's ankle, it's Sutton. That's kind of it.
Yeah, this is another game. There's three games that I feel like are going to be under. I mean, it's this one and the other two that we talked about, you know, between San Fran and Chicago and Pittsburgh and Cleveland. I don't see a lot of offense here. I know Washington's defense has not been good at all. It's been actually brutal. Like everyone is throwing all over them. They've struggled, you know. They really have struggled to get pressure, which is surprising because this is a team that got so much pressure last year.
They were better last week against Green Bay, which was
they
nice
were.
To
I was
going to
say that. They were much better against Green Bay, and I think that that could carry over. Teddy Bridgewater hasn't looked good over the past couple weeks, and I know he's dealing with a knee injury, but the only guy that I have interest inside this offense really is Cortland Sutton. And I know Ricky Seals-Jones was dropped in a bunch of leagues this past week, but Denver's been really good against the tight end. I think if you own him in a season log, you play him, but I don't think, you know, he really comes with that high of a ceiling here this week against the Broncos. And same thing with Terry McLaurin. Like, I like this guy overall as a player. I think he could rack up 8 or 9 targets in this spot pretty easily because that's been really the norm for Terry McLaurin this year. But again, I just don't see where the ceiling is inside this game. Denver's a really tough place to play. I still have respect for their defense. I agree with you. I think it's Sutton and that's it. And I'm still trying to dig through some news here on the fly as we're recording here on a Friday afternoon about Jerry Jeudy, and there's really nothing. It's just that he wasn't spotted at practice today. You heard him say midweek that he's ready to go. He feels like he's good to go. But as Dak Prescott said yesterday, it's not up to him, and it's probably not going to be up to Jerry Jeudy whether he plays or not. So Sutton with all those air yards, and he has been the poster boy for tournaments, boom or bust. There's been a lot of boom. There's been a lot of bust with this guy, but you said it, the air yards have been there. He's got like a 16 ADOT or something silly like that. That's probably part of the reason that he's only reeling in half of those targets. But at the same time, he's getting targeted down the field. He has big play potential, man. He's had 3 games this season with at least 23 fantasy points. And then he's had a couple with just sub 10. But that's going to happen when you get targeted down the field that deep of an ADOT.
Yeah, and for Washington, I love Terry McLaurin. He's never popular, ever. But 7,600 against Denver, give me A.J. Brown. You can get stuff. Like, he's the fourth highest price receiver on the slate. Mm-hmm. And I know we're missing some players on the slate, right? No Chiefs, no Cowboys, no Vikings. That's a lot of receivers right there. But still, like, give me, you know, I prefer D.J. Moore, Chris Godwin that are cheaper, maybe even Calvin Ridley. And that's not against Terry McLaurin. Like you said, he's going to, like, he gets, I think he has like a 32% target share with Taylor Heinicke this season. Like, the targets are awesome.
Yeah.
But I worry about this offense, and you can't play Gibson.
No, you can't.
I have serious concerns about Gibson. They worked out some running backs this week. Like, he's playing through a shin fracture. Like, it's so tough for him. And
they should just sit him down. I mean, they already said he can't get any better until they sit him down.
I will say Denver's run defense has been really bad the last couple weeks. I mean, we saw what D'Ernest Johnson just did against them. And Von Miller, I don't think, was at practice either on Friday. Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to play Antonio Gibson. But I don't have any confidence, man. He's playing hurt. It's not great.
I think Fivery missed the last 17 minutes of the game last week. I know they were down from behind against the Packers, but...
Yeah,
you're right. I mean, he's playing through this injury. They already said it's not going to get any better unless he gets some rest. You just can't trust it. Unfortunately, it's just not a risk that I don't think you should take playing him in DFS.
Well, that'll do it for the slate. Again, we will look for word on Jerry Jeudy. Would have been nice to see some, you know, something while we were finishing that game. But look, this is the NFL. Things happen and things change. Meany, as always, appreciate you stopping by the podcast. Talk about everything going on at FTN, Mean Streets, NHL content. Again, like it's tough for me to just kind of let you. It's tough for me to say, okay, let's have Meany talk about this because there's so much stuff going on over at FTN and in the sports world in general.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, like we talked about off the top, big four happening in sports, covering it all on Mean Streets, giving some hockey props, some picks, some NBA props and picks, some MLB picks as well. And we'll continue to do that until baseball wraps up probably this time next week. But yeah, I mean, it's all happening. Mean Streets is a free show Monday to Friday at 12 Eastern. You can catch it live at 12 on the Twitter machine. You can go back and watch it at FTNFantasy.com. We've had some great guests like yourself pop on the show before. But yeah, the NHL bets have been going pretty good. Hopefully continue to win a little bit of cash for people throughout the week that we can spend on Sundays and football. And we got the betting show if anybody wants to take part in the Sunday morning betting show with Matthew Friedman, Elliot, Chris, and myself. We come at you at 10 Eastern on Sunday mornings. And then, of course, you know that the guys are getting you set for, you know, your DFS lineups on Sunday as well. But yeah, man, a lot happening over at FTN. It just, it's crazy, man, to look at our schedule and our doc. Like, I'm taking a look at it right now, and it's like, dude, yeah. We are.
I mean, I go from
content.
Basketball to football to basketball to football to basketball to football, and it's like I love it because I like they're my two favorite sports. I especially basketball. Like, I love doing basketball content, but I just sometimes I get confused. Like I almost when we were doing the Chargers Patriots game, I almost said the Los Angeles Clippers. Like it's
I've done that before.
It's that time of year, but there's something for everybody at FTN right now. That's what I love about it. I mean, hockey, you're crushing it over there with fantasy hockey and betting and all that great stuff. We have obviously football, basketball. There's a show every single night and like, you know, 6-7 articles. So yeah. For every NBA slate, even the weekends and all that, you're covered. So it's a great time. Get over to FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets today. And you know, you have a great team helping you with fantasy, DFS, betting, season long, anything you can think of. So that'll do it. Week number 8 should be a good one. Again, keep an eye on all the news throughout the course of the rest of the week and into the weekend. And we will be, obviously, we'll have, you know, a live stream Sunday morning. We'll be in the Discord Sunday mornings for all your questions and all that great stuff. So for Meany, I am Adam. Thanks for listening this week. And as always, best of luck in week number 8. We'll be back on Monday for the recap pod, recapping what happened in week number 8. For Fade the Chalk, we're out of here. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.